You're listening to the Millennial Minute Podcast, giving this generation what they want to hear.
What the fuck is up, guys? We are back. It is spooky fucking season. Season 2, episode 15. And this week, we got an extra special pod for all of our listeners and our watchers on YouTube. Subscribe. We got a man who is a content creator.
Okay.
A content savant.
Okay.
Speak said earlier, a man amongst boys.
I was going to say that line this time.
Oh, I'm saying it now.
Fine.
A man amongst boys.
Okay.
A man who lives by his own fucking rules.
Yeah. Okay.
The Dos Equis man looks up to this guy.
Oh. He does.
That's how fucking big this guy is. And he's in the fucking studio today. Woody Landeros. How the fuck are you doing, my man?
Hello, hello. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going good. And also, we got some other people. We gotta just do this for everybody else. We got Speaks in here.
Hey. Oh, okay.
Yep. We got T, unfortunately.
Hey, how's it going?
We got Chibs in DC.
What's good?
And we also got Alif.
Hey, what's good, man?
So, Woody, how are you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I think before anything, I just want to say thank you guys for having me on the podcast.
Aww.
I mean, I know you guys don't have like guests and stuff, but like seriously, thank you guys. And thank you to Imran. Thank you to everybody that's behind the scenes too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a pleasure. Seriously.
Of course.
Yeah. So
I know that everybody like shows up on, what was that, 80 hours a week? Who mm-hmm. said that?
What?
Somebody was like, I work 80 hours.
Oh, that was a leaf.
That was a leaf.
That was a leaf.
It's okay.
I'm like, that was not me.
You're fitting right in. I mean, we forget about him too.
I know all our days. Oh. I know all our days are long. And it's big. It's big for everybody to come here and make me feel welcome.
Of course.
Yeah. And we appreciate you too, man. How does it feel to be making history as the first ever guest on the Millennial Minute Podcast?
Such a deep question. How does it feel?
Deep cuts.
Let me know.
Millennial Minute deep fucking cuts.
It's huge, man. I mean, this is like one of the first podcasts I've ever been a guest on. So I have no idea how it's going to go. I've heard a few of your guys' podcasts and I know it gets
a little wild.
Gets pretty rowdy.
It gets rowdy in the fucking studio.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm ready for it.
Hey. All right, let's do
he's
it.
He's ready.
So speaking of motherfucking appreciation, we got to appreciate Productive Culture for everything they do. So if you're ever going to get off your ass and do something with your life, I suggest you hit a Productive Culture because they will help you out with podcasts. They will help you out with video recording. If you're trying to become a rapper in the studio, they will help you out on every aspect of what you're trying to do in terms of audio, in terms of video. They are the people you need to go to. Their team is A1. They are unmatched and they can't be beat. So is there anything else you guys want to say about Productive Culture? Because they've been awesome. You guys heard our first episodes. They were garbage until we connected with the
garbage.
Team.
Garbage.
They were garbage.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rod, so it sounds like you're a little rowdy. Have you been sipping on that complimentary kombucha?
He has.
Oh, yes, I have been.
I mean, okay. That's,
shout out to Productive Culture.
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Let's wrap it back around.
There we go.
So, in the spirit of shouting out sponsorships and also shouting out ourselves, we're going to discuss entrepreneurship, what it means to millennials. Do we think that it's a good idea for millennials to jump out into this realm of entrepreneurship and kind of the right way and the wrong way to go about it? So before we get into the minute, we're kind of going to let Woody give us background into who he is, what he does, and why he got into starting his own business, which is called again for the people?
I'll just let you think about it.
I know it was on birth.
The first
right?
guest ever. What was your name again? I'm so sorry.
I didn't want to so butcher sorry. The name. I knew it was
no,
on.
It's called On Brink.
Okay, On Brink. I didn't want to say On Bink, but I was close. I was close. So On Brink. So tell us about On Brink, why you decided to start On Brink and kind of like what led you to where you are today?
I mean, like the whole shabam, like how I said that downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can do that. Condense
just say everything.
up to you. You're the motherfucking okay. guest. You're no, the yeah. first
so
guest.
When I mean, I guess to better explain it, I'll just kind of go back a little bit. Just kind of growing up, I've always been into just different creative endeavors, like painting. I mean, starting a clothing line, doing filmmaking. I mean, I was just into anything creative. And then when I finished out high school, when I was going off into the world, I really felt like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it as a creative, like being able to pay my bills and being able to do those things. So I had a lot of doubts and fears. And I think what kind of led me even deeper into that was that my dad and my mom are both very just like intense business people. So I felt like, is it going to be creative or business? It was never like mixing the two. So I had completely dropped everything. Like I'm telling you, like stopping everything. Like I stopped anything that had creative in it. And I even my friends that were creative, I was like, okay, like, nah, I can't hang out today. And then I just went to a company called Marcus & Millichap, which does commercial real estate. And I started doing like 200 or 300 phone calls a day, just like cold calls, sales. It was just corporate world. And it was very difficult. I think if anybody out there that's listening, that's a creative, just imagine dropping everything and making calls to just like the older generation and trying to convince them to buy or sell something. Like it was so it felt like just a repetitive motion. And like, but I kept on doing it because I felt like that was the only way that I was gonna be able to make it. Mm-hmm. But 2 years ago I met this wonderful woman, Rebecca Rice. And she was really doing all the like filmmaking and stuff like that. And I saw kind of like a window of opportunity with seeing like, well, if she could do it, I can do it. And so, you know, After that, it was only like 2 weeks that I saw all that, and I quit my job. I quit doing all that stuff and I went back to the art world. But one thing that I kind of want to put out in the podcast is that like I learned something from being in the corporate world and I brought it to the art world, because if I would have just went off into the art world, then I wouldn't be charging the amount of money that I'm charging today. Mm-hmm. Because before I didn't really value my art for what it was. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I was doing like I owed it to everybody else and nobody had to pay me for it. Like it was like, oh, I can do this. I can do that. I can create something for you. I can be this person. But now it's like, yeah, I can do that, but that'll be 10 grand. I can do that, but that'll be around 12 grand.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for creatives or entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call it, millennials, anything. I think it's important for everybody to hear.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to work with Woody, cut the fucking check, guys.
Give him that fucking check.
Pad.
The juicy check.
The juicy check.
The juicy check.
The juicy
check.
Right? The juicy bag. So as we get into our minute, I love what Woody touched on in kind of his journey getting into On Brink and, you know, his early kind of struggles with himself. So I think the question we should ask today for the minute should be, should we just dive headfirst creatively into our dreams and our aspirations, or should we try and get some experience first and kind of work our way through things before we just take a huge risk? So I think that's a pretty big, insightful question that we can kind of dive into.
Big and insightful.
Big and insightful. Pause. But we can go about it that way. So T, take us away.
I want to start. Oh, okay. I'll take it away, but wow. I want to start. Okay. So we're going to have 1 minute to discuss everything that Rod just said. Mm-hmm. And let's start with either Chibs. Let's start with Chibs and then we'll go to Ali. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready? Hello?
Yep.
Okay. All right, go. Go.
I'm going.
Go!
But I think that for me, I like to gain a lot of experience, you know, feel my way out to know what I'm good at, you know.
Okay.
So I know where to put my effort in, and I know when I'm good at something. Okay. You know, like it's kind of like knowing your strength and then doubling down on your strength.
There's also Ali. We have six people.
Go,
come on,
hurry.
We gotta go quick, Ali.
I'm just here to learn about entrepreneurship. Can you be a businessman? Does being a businessman also mean that you're an entrepreneur?
Okay.
Okay. Woody.
Another question. Next.
Okay, Woody.
Next. Hold on. Let me
guess. Look at your audio.
Oh, was it you? Oh, yes. Okay. I mean, I say dive into it and figure it out.
Okay.
So then, Woody?
I would say the same. Dive into it and figure it out.
Hurry.
Gaining the experience, so go ahead and dive into it and just.
Yeah, same. Two, yeah, go. Same. Okay, we got
okay,
two seconds. And that's
two,
time.
One, Chibs. There you go. The patented Chibs buzzer beater.
Y'all pay me cash if y'all good.
We're paying too many people. We already got to cut Woody the check. Now we got to cut Chibs the check. Sponsor the fucking pod, people, so we can start paying
Sponsor the pod.
So,
I think that's one of my favorite statements. Sponsor the pod. I was so like, should I just take it and just like not say anything?
You can take it.
No, that's a really good statement.
Thank you.
Sponsor the pod.
We appreciate it. You can take it.
That merch, though.
Yes. If you cut the check for that merch, you can have it all you want.
Exactly.
So I kind of wanted to start with, this time I wanted to start with Chibs because I feel like he kind of had a contrary idea to the rest of ours that he kind of wanted to figure things out. So Chibs, take it away.
Didn't Speaks also say the same thing as you sort of?
I said dive in, get the experience just by diving in.
Shows
how much you were listening, sir.
Okay, so Chibs, kick us off.
With that energy, okay. Anyways, yeah, so basically I was just saying that I think that you want to get your experience in that you want to know your strengths, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always think that, especially like when you go to like, and I was like based off college, when you're finally free, you're going to college, and now like maybe you're like undecided, undeclared, and you don't know what you want to do yet. So you take like a whole bunch of classes, mm-hmm. and until you find something that like really sticks, and then like once you find like, well, wow, marine biology, that really clicks with me, mm-hmm. even though I did like European history, that one wasn't great, mm-hmm. you know? So like you're trying a lot of different things, taking the taste, and once you find that niche, mm-hmm. and then you just like dive in, you double down, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and yeah, then you invest all your efforts into doing that, but that's after like maybe gaining a little worldly experience, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. So just like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I guess there's not a one-size-fits-all approach here, right?
True.
100% no.
Kind of like Woody was touching on. You were saying that you kind of knew your path in terms of creativity kind of early on, but you kind of turned away. You pushed that to the side to just focus on business, right?
Yeah, I pushed it aside because I think I had more doubts and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Just mental anxiety, just like afraid, you know, like, is somebody going to like my pieces of artwork, or is it even worth that much, or am I good enough? And I think it really does take for you to understand like your value first, right? But which is such a repetitive statement right now, but
it's okay.
It is like understanding your value.
So one of the things that you touched on when you were giving, you know, your little spiel, basically, like of how you came about and what you wanted to start and everything, and putting that price on your work and getting that like confidence to be like, no, this is what I charge and I know that I'm good for it. You know, mm-hmm. was there anything that kind of like flicked on in your head, or was it just like, you know, like, oh, you know what? Why am I like not, why should I be so scared to charge?
That light bulb moment.
Yeah. You know, like, was there an aha moment, or was it just like, you know, you're kind of going through and then you're like, okay, now I developed the experience and this is what I can do. Can you kind of touch on that for, I guess, some.
So I think that's a great question, because when I was in Marcus and Millchap, mm-hmm. I mean, literally you would do nothing and guys would be cashing in like $100,000 checks, $50,000 checks. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. These are multifamily properties that the commission rate is literally like
insane.
$150,000 paycheck. And they clear that off in a week. I mean, my boss, he's simply like, on his worst year, he makes like $15 million a year.
Whoa.
So
$15 million?
Sponsor the mother when, pod.
When you're seeing checks like that, and then you're not doing shit, and then you go to the creative world where you're doing so much, you're like, I'll film it, I'll do this, I'll do the audio, I'll do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, I got $100. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what?
Yeah.
How am I putting in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And only getting $100 or $500 is like the big break.
Yeah.
You know, why is that like that? And then I think when I started realizing, well, people have money, older people have money, younger people have money, everybody has money. It's just like being able to stand up for yourself and like put your price on it. So then when I started talking to the companies, I started realizing, well, I've researched your name.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have millions of dollars in assets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking to the same people and it's just about like putting your price.
Okay.
I mean, when I was doing videos before, it was like, give me $50 or give me food money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the same those same videos that I was producing is like, now they are $15,000 videos.
Exactly.
But it's just about like, and knowing that like you can't tell your friend, hey, $15,000. And then like, they're going to go find money out of their ass. Like you have to, like, you got to know that like, if maybe that might not work and maybe that's not your customer. Like my client is not anybody that like, they're not going to be my friends. They're not going to be my family members. They're companies that are making at least $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Not us. And don't even bat an eye at just like, you know.
Because that's when $20 million a year, if you're making that much, then what is it to write a $15,000 check?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Especially for what you're getting.
Exactly. Especially if they know like it's going to be a quality thing. And that's like a big thing too, especially within like our society. So many people are scared to kind of make that jump and just be willing to bet on themselves. You know, do you think that's like because of just kind of how we were growing up? You said your parents were business, like really, really business minded. So is that like, okay, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering if she had to say something.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
We'll jump to T after.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, I think, you know, since, you know, most of our, if not all of our viewers are basically millennial, I think we all kind of suffer from that, you know? And nowadays, since it's not, you can't make a feasible wage, you know, which is the more standard way. I think that's why we're kind of seeing more people trying to bet on themselves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of. I was gonna go somewhere, and I kind of.
All right, we can circle back.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Go ahead.
So maybe it'll come back. No, yeah. I was just gonna ask. You know, because you were Speaks was saying that people are afraid to jump into it, but do you feel like it's a lot more competitive, and that's also something that kind of scares people? Because I feel like as millennials, like Speaks just said, we're more likely to try and find jobs where we're able to be more creative. You know.
I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this. I love the competitive nature that millennials naturally have. And I like how it's, I feel like it's masked by like community, because everybody in your community, you're really competing against them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I get excited about it because I know that the majority of the people are not going to price themselves to what they're valued at. So they won't be around for long. So I have like zero competition.
Oh,
dang. Nice. My man gave a cutthroat.
That was good.
Yeah, that was cutthroat.
Listen out. Woody's coming for your fucking neck.
I like
that's
it.
That's that free knowledge that he's given up.
That's that gem.
That's a gem. That's a fucking soundbite right there. We got
it. Yeah, seriously. That was a good one.
So kind of to go back to Chip's point, because I understand what Chip is saying. I think that it's a safer approach to kind of figure out kind of what you're good at before you kind of jump into a full-fledged passion. But Woody, in your case, you you kind of had a you had a big support system in your girlfriend who was able to kind of like, you were able to see what she was doing to be like, okay, if she's doing this, then like I can also do that too. Like, so would you say that was like a big part of it that kind of helped ease your anxiety and kind of like, you know, boosted you to say, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to quit my job. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, definitely. Surrounding yourself around like-minded people. I mean, that's something that we all hear all the time too.
Cliche.
But I mean, like when, I mean, even this, I would say this is fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I see your guys' podcast. I see that you guys have audio and video and supporters and everything. So it's like, I'm going to be more pumped next week to make my podcast.
There we go.
And so like, as long as you're surrounding yourself around those type of people, it's like, you just keep on moving forward.
True.
Adding fuel to that fucking fire.
Support is definitely one of the major, major, major keys to anything. I was at a little like hip hop show recently, and one of the guys was like, you know, if you have somebody and you really believe in them, like tell them that, you know, because so many times it's like, oh, you know, you see the guy that's like grinding and working. And, you know, really working and doing, you know, their own thing and their own grind. But, you know, very seldom do they get told like, hey, you know, I really, really fuck with you. And, you know, that can honestly just make their day. You know, that gives them that energy to keep going. Now it's like, oh, maybe they had writer's block or something like that. And then you gave them that little inspiration. Now it's like, oh, I can go here. I can go do this. And then it's just like that breeds success, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. So Alif, I know that you had a question because you wanted to learn about business.
I forgot Alif was
business
here.
Business
I was like, is
Alif still on the line?
I know.
It wouldn't be a loss if he isn't, but is he still here?
Guys, he's writing it down in his notebook.
He's taking taking notes.
Nah, I can leave.
No. Yo, so Alif, you said you just kind of wanted to learn more about it. So what would be your question that you had that we can discuss?
Is like, I guess my question is entrepreneurship is it the same as being like an investor? If I'm a business investor, like for example, I invest in real estate, or I invest in companies or small startups, something like that. Would you also consider that as entrepreneurship? Would you guys consider that as entrepreneurship? Because I've never done anything that's related to that, or like, you know, starting your own business or anything like that, or something like, along the lines of that. So just trying to poke you guys' brains.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want to kick this one off? Yeah. Or
you guys want to take a swing at it?
Okay.
Rod.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take it away, Rod.
Oh, you guys just looked at me like, I mean, I would say, yeah, because if you're putting your money into anything, whether it be, I guess, stocks or homes or small businesses, you kind of got to know, you got to do your research into what you're putting your money into. Like, you don't want just a small company to be like, hey, I sell this. And you're like, here's $1 million. And then just go and have fun.
Small loan. Small loan.
Here's a small loan of $1 million.
Small loan.
So I mean, I would say, yeah, I would say that you could be considered a businessman based off that. But I guess maybe, well, I don't know. I had an old teacher that told me this. She said, she's like, you're not considered a businessman if you're making under $100,000. Anything under $100,000 is considered a hobby.
Damn. I respect that though.
And that's what she told me. And
like,
that just
like
kinda,
like $100,000 a year, yeah, or a
like
month,
if,
or
like if you're not making $100,000 a year off whatever you're doing, it's considered a hobby. It's not considered a business. So I mean, maybe that's just a short answer to what I'm trying to say.
Damn. You could have said all that in like 10 words, bro.
I know. Yeah,
I could have. I could have just started with that.
Yeah.
But we can go around the table and then go to Chibs. Or we can, Woody speaks. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
As far as like, I think
I kind of do. Like, okay. I think like in terms of financial success or security, I've always tried to approach that idea or secure that idea by thinking smarter and not working harder.
Okay.
Work smarter, not harder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just me personally. Like anything that I do in terms of achieving that level of financial security, that's the foundation of the idea that I take for doing all that. So.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Quick question. What's,
what is going on?
That's the second.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Does everybody kind of have like the same definition for what an entrepreneur actually is? Because I feel as though like the word comes up, but like I feel like it means kind of different things to different people. I don't know. I could be wrong with that.
Let me go on Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Oh, okay.
To look at
the official. Good. That's good. I want to see what it says and see if it compares to.
Well, yeah, no, because like, I mean, you know, we asked like, you know, can an investor be considered an entrepreneurship? And we kind of got a few like shakes like, no, not really. And then it was like, I guess so. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah,
that's why
I like
posed the question.
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
What's happening?
You know,
Miriam.
Talk about being entrepreneurial. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. All this quick sidebar. All this talk about being an entrepreneur is reminding me of that episode on SpongeBob where SpongeBob Patrick going around selling chocolates.
Wait, what? Okay.
Where are we going?
Where are you driving the car?
Alif. Let me take the wheel really quick. Entrepreneur okay. definition.
So, okay, because yes.
That is what we are talking okay. about.
Well, here, I have a question that can kind of get us back on track really quick regarding to the entrepreneurship. So a lot of millennials want to be entrepreneurs. We want to have our own businesses. We kind of want to be like our own brand in a sense. And Woody, that's kind of what you're doing too. Like you are your own brand and you are what you're selling. So now when, you know, millennials, we have to go to school, we have jobs, maybe even a second job. where do you find that time, or what would you say to someone who's still trying to find time to work Ooh. In their like creative life with their work life? Because you still got to eat, you got to pay your bills.
Yeah.
But you still kind of want to take your life in a different route.
I would say paid internships. Oh. Find a place okay. that you want to work for and or that you want to learn from, and then, you know, get an internship. I feel like, I mean, I've been running an internship program with San Bernardino Valley College and Riverside Community College, where we teach them how to do film. Mm-hmm. And I feel like whatever they're learning in school is completely different of what we're teaching them every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's, you know, textbook versus real life.
Yeah.
And what happens is that when you learn certain things in textbook and then you go out there, you have to relearn it. You have to relearn all the different things. It was even in real estate too. You learn from textbook and then they say, they literally were like, fuck all that shit. Mm-hmm. Put that goddamn book down. You got to make this type of phone call, say these things, do these things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how any industry like is, or at least how it was for myself. Mm-hmm. So if I were to go back, I would try to find somebody that I looked up to and just worked with them.
Okay.
I mean, even if you ask them like, hey, you know what, I have bills and I have this and that, what can I help you, and try to do some sort of exchange. I mean, there's a lot of people like, I feel like, again, with the anxiety and the fear with millennials, mm-hmm. Is that they feel like they don't want to like knock on the door or intrude or be too loud. Mm-hmm. But if you go to any of these big companies or any of these people, they would love to help a young person. Mm-hmm. They would love to. And they would love to like teach them everything that they know. So when I was in real estate, I just called everybody and was like, this person's giving me this much. Can you give me more or less? Mm-hmm. And then I just kept on going. And then I found like the biggest and baddest players in that industry. Mm-hmm. And then that's the way that I got through that. And then also with video too, it's like just finding clients and trying to like going towards the clients that you really want, as opposed to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's like, can anybody afford me? As opposed to going to one person and saying like, I really, really want to work with you as a company or as a filmmaker, and then just doing whatever you can to go like to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cause
okay.
It's like, it's just throwing like mud on the wall.
No, no,
what sticks.
100%. I think that's a big thing too, because like our, especially in today's society, it's like, go to college, get this so that way you can get a job. But a lot of things the companies will come back with is like, well, did you have an internship?
Yeah,
do you have experience?
It's so
and it's
stupid.
Like, you know, it's kind of like a, it's kind of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. It's kind
it just
of
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, no, not a double-edged sword. It's just like, it's kind of just going around in the circle, basically. You know, you think you have something, but then they flip it on you. It's like, oh, you need experience.
I
how do I get
you have
experience?
Your master's, but do you have 30 years of job experience?
Exactly.
It's like, that I'm 27.
Literally, yes.
And see, that was like the thing, like, at least my dad, he recently had lost his job, and he wasn't a, you know, he didn't complete college. He went to college, but he didn't complete college. Mm-hmm. However, he had 20 to 30 years of experience. Mm-hmm. So companies were willing to hire him for way, way above like what, because you can't put a price on experience.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's very important to have that, like that balance of like, you know, when you're going for something, at least being able to like put what you know mm-hmm. and learn from school and actually to have the real world application to
it. Well, it's just like what he had mentioned. It's different actually learning from a textbook than learning mm-hmm. from experience
exactly.
and being in the field that you want to be in.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be able to apply the concepts and recognize them and be able to, you know, say the right things and all that stuff.
Yeah. Alif?
Yeah. Real quick though. So wait, we kind of sidetracked. I still want to give the definition of entrepreneur.
Why are we gonna go back?
Why?
Let's just save this to the end. Jibs had
no, 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 no. He already interjected. I would
okay,
like
fine.
To hear the
let's,
definition.
Let's hear it.
All right, see.
I mean, okay, so it's a noun.
Thank you,
Merriam. So Merriam-Webster defines it as one who organizes, manages, and assumes the risks of a business or enterprise.
Okay.
Very broad. That could be a manager.
That's actually shocking. I did not expect that one at all.
Well, I think it's because it can be very broad, right? Mm-hmm. Like anyone can be an entrepreneur. So
that is true. Chibs, I know you wanted to add something.
Yeah. Well, so I had a question for basically all of y'all. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, essentially, you know, we got a ton of entrepreneurs, you know, right here on this pod. You know, we got mm-hmm. Rod has his own business. Mm-hmm. Woody, you know, got his own business. Speaks and T, you know, content creators, mm-hmm. you know, so y'all here investing and working on yourselves. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is this time is like, what's being how you guys are actively inside doing business as entrepreneurs, what's that one tidbit that people who are wanting to do the same, you want to give them, like based off what you have gone through and what you've taken away by being in it, what do you want to give?
Okay, we can start off with T and go around.
Okay.
On the hot seat.
I mean, well, I'll say this. I feel like it's hard because, I mean, I'm not making money from my YouTube channel.
But you still have experience in what you're
doing. Yeah, and like
I post every week. I post
mm-hmm. once a week at least, and I've been doing this consistently for 2 years.
Subscribe to T.
Subscribe to your girl. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, I want to start a YouTube channel. And they'll start it, and then they won't post for months. You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like
Why would you look at Woody like that? That's messed up. Yeah. He just got onto the podcast. How could you do such a thing?
Why would you do that?
Wow. I'm so...
We're sorry,
rude.
Woody.
It's okay.
That was really
I'm
rude.
Sorry. I just get kind of crazy.
This is why we had a testosterone-only podcast last time. All right?
Okay. Anyways, Speaks. Like I was saying... Oh, go ahead.
Oh my God.
Oh no. I didn't mean to cut you off. Please finish.
Okay. You're finish. Good. Okay.
Go ahead, T.
Wait, oh, I'm going? Okay.
Yeah, continue.
So I just feel like sometimes people don't have the drive. It's like they say they want to do this, but their actions aren't really saying it, you know?
Do you think that's just because they feel like being a YouTube/content creator is easier than maybe working a 9-to-5?
It's not easy.
Not that it is, but from afar, like them.
How? But here's my thing: is it's not easy. Otherwise, I'd be making money, and I, you know what I mean.
Of course, but what I'm saying is that if I worked a 9-to-5 at Jack in the Box, looking at you reviewing, you know what you review, I might say, oh, well, that seems easy. I'll just do that, and then maybe once I get into it, I'm like, oh, this is hard. I quit.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm saying, do you think that's the reason why people tend to fall off?
Well, I just feel like, again, it's like you need to have that drive if you're going to be in that field. Mm-hmm. You can't just give up that easily. You have to be consistent, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like if Woody would have given up like after one video or, you know, you can't be like that and try to get into this industry.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to be an entrepreneur and you're going to fail, but that's how you're going to know if you're going to end up sticking through with it or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaks.
And that's where I have a question for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So my question is,
can we
answer Chibs' question first, Alif? So let's answer Chibs and then we'll jump into your question.
This episode is a lot longer than the last ones. We have time, people.
Yes, we got time. So
everyone's so eager.
So I think, jump on Chibs' question.
So I think I'm gonna kind of harp on what T told me, and it's kind of resonated with me. Was you make it a priority? Mm-hmm. You know, like no matter how many hours you're working, no matter how much, you know, whatever you're doing outside extracurriculars, if you really, really want it, you will make the time to do it. You know, and that's kind of what it is. And that's for me. That's one of the hardest things that I'm kind of working with, is because I never thought I would ever have to like write down and like schedule and put certain things in my day to make sure that these things get done. But that's a big part of it. I feel like you know, working that 9-to-5 and, you know, whatever else you're doing, like me, I'm a student. I'm working, going to school, doing the podcast, trying to upload to YouTube, all this other stuff. But a lot of the time that you could be having, if you just kind of plot it out and, you know, get smart, you know, if you know you're only allowed it so many times within the day, what are you going to tell the person that's like, has way more like on their plate than you do, and yet they still get it done? We all have the same 24 hours in a day. How are you utilizing it? Do you have to sacrifice sleep? If you have to sacrifice sleep, then you know what? That's what you do.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what it is. It's just making that priority and finding ways. Don't say I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make the time.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Woody?
And this is for what we've learned.
What you've learned in your entrepreneur
with you doing what
experience.
You do.
Yeah, and everything.
I would say what I've learned is that, you know, maybe we have different things holding us back or different things that are, you know, anxiety, whatever it is. But I think the biggest thing from business or entrepreneurship, whatever you want to call it, is that I've learned is structure. I feel like a lot of people will create an IG profile and then they'll say, I'm an entrepreneur. and that's bullshit. Like, you don't got no fucking clothing line. You don't have no investment strategy. Like, shut the hell up. You just made an Instagram profile.
Coming for your next.
Coming for you creative directors.
I'm an influencer.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you got like a few selfies with like some shitty brands.
Oh, you know?
Like, it's just a bunch of, it's just a bunch of BS. And I think that's huge. Like, I think that's why I don't really see that many competitors, because there aren't. Like, it's just a, like, there really isn't. Structure is a huge thing. Like, if somebody, I don't mean to like call anybody out, but like,
call them out.
If there's some, if like, I was trying to record in a podcast, like, I recorded a podcast yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if that guy would have gotten hurt, who's liable? Like, stuff like that, that people don't think about. And they'll go out and they'll do like a fashion shoot or something, and then somebody gets hurt, and then how are they structured legally? Or is their business even legal? Is it a sole proprietor? How is it structured?
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that like people, I mean, that's where it starts, like just the structure of everything. And if you're going to like push something, then might as well push something that's structured correctly. Like, don't go to like step 7 and make like a badass logo and then a YouTube promo and be like, I'm the shit. You need to figure out if this is a real business or not, period.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is probably do your research.
Yeah. It's understanding like the business side of things and not, I mean, I think a lot of it is fueled by today's time of like Instagram and stuff, with like, you know, a selfie with a car is now you made it.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality.
That's true.
So, quick plug. That's what my podcast is kind of about, is shut up and fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of people say are like really loud and they say that they're successful. But really what I'm trying to do right now, and it's kind of obviously what I've been doing in this podcast, but is like to just shut up and like go out and do it, like fail.
Yeah.
And like mess up every single day.
That's really important.
That's true.
No,
I hear that a lot when people start their channels too. It's like, they'll start their channel and they're like, oh, well, I'm awkward on camera. It's like, yeah, like your first couple of videos are going to be shitty. You might start in a niche that you're not sure you want to be in. You might play around with some videos, and there's going to be things that you like to film, things that you don't like to film. And like, it takes time. Like, it took me 2 years to figure out my niche. Like, I just figured out my niche a couple months ago.
Yeah. Shout out to the niche.
Yeah.
Sponsor the pod.
Yeah.
Sponsor the pod.
But it's like that. Like, you have to fail. Like you said, you have to figure things out on your own, and you can't expect anyone to tell you what to do.
Yeah. And I feel like people are really stuck in the starting line. Like they're at the starting line talking like, so what should we do? Or how should we do it? Or, you know, what do you think about it? But just like the other person's already like ready in the zone and they're about to run their race.
Yeah.
You have to execute it for sure.
That's true. I mean, I think the advice I would give to anyone who wants to start, I mean, I think I would say, find out what you want to do and like really nail that down. So before you even start a YouTube, before you even start a clothing brand, before you start anything, I think just think about it for like a year. Just think about it.
No, I say do it.
No, I mean, because this is the thing, and this is kind of like what we were touching on earlier, is it just becomes an initial just thought, oh, I'm going to do it. And then you do it, and then you're just like, oh, I'm bored. So it's like, initially you didn't want to do it, you know, but it's like, think about what you're going to do. Like,
oh, I see what you mean.
See what other people are doing. Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? Like, kind of come up with your own, I guess, method to your madness on how you want to do it.
Do your research.
And I'm only saying this because I didn't do that. You know, and I wasted a lot of time and a lot of money where I could have just streamlined that shit and just fucking went to where I'm going now.
So would you say you failed?
No, I mean, I would say that I had to fail to get to where I'm at now.
I would say that. It also...
And I would... And I would say number two is work with people who are only above you. Because if you work with people who are even with you, you're just going to stay on an even level playing field. You're never going to get to that next level. So when I started... because I've like, you know, I mean, you guys know, like, I've been working on my clothing shit. And if you went back years ago, that shit was trash, you know, but like, I just kept going and going and going to the point where now I'm hitting up, you know, photographers or people who do logos that are doing logos for other big brands. And I'm not making the money that those big brands are. But at the same time, I'm like, look, like, I need to be on this level. So if you guys help me get here, then like, I'm instead of being right here at the bottom, I've already taken that step to where they are.
There we go.
Then I've taken another step.
Progression.
Then exactly. Because if I'm just working with the people who are with me here, it's just going to be so much harder. Not saying don't work with people who are at your level, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you kind of have to seek out people whose work you really love and be willing to pay that price point. Like with Woody, if you love Woody's videos, you love what he does, pay him for it. Because you're gonna get good content. You're going to get whatever you like from what he's doing. You're going to get that for yourself. So I think that those would be my two things.
I think it's also being surrounded by people that you can learn from. Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, it doesn't always have to be people that are above you, but it has to be people who are motivating you to be better.
Exactly.
It's not just like, oh, okay, well, it's like we're stuck with 50 listeners on the podcast. Like that's chill.
Yeah.
Like we all have to constantly be trying to grow and learn and mm-hmm. be better than what we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And yeah. That's facts.
The my mentor used to tell me that always have somebody like above you, somebody right next to you, and mm-hmm. somebody below you. Because you always want to be able to look up to somebody, relate to mm-hmm. somebody, and bring someone up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
I love them saying keep someone down, but I like that last part a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good one. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. Sponsor the pod. Sponsor the pod. Yes, any mentors sponsor
help
the pod.
Us, please.
So, Alif,
not Alif, if you're part of a pyramid scheme.
Then no, we do not want to
stay out of here, Primerica.
Yeah. Shout out to Brad. So, I know Alif had a question. Alif, you want to sound off?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So, I guess my question was like, and I thought about this before. Looking back. For the entrepreneurs on the pod, do you guys feel like you guys took the most like efficient course of action or route to you know get to where you want to be? Or like when you look back, do you think you could have done things better? Or oh, or wow. 'Cause you can understand where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, I said, oh, wow, not to, like, dish you or anything, but, like, that's actually,
that
like,
hit a close to home.
No, yeah, no, because, like, it was just, yeah.
You had a PTSD.
Speaks
is
like, oh, wow.
Oh.
Wait.
Wow.
No, I'm not
trying to.
Whoa. I'm not
trying
to diss anybody.
No. We understand the question. We understand the question.
No, because, like, I asked that because, so I'm out here in Arizona, and I've met a lot of people out here who are also trying to, you know, start up their own business. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are doing things in different ways. And I've met people who are trying to start something like, for example, out of their own garage, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Rock bottom. And that's admirable. Like you have the heart for it, like go for it by all mm-hmm. means. And I also met some people who decided to take a different route. And these people are some folks are were well established before they decided to get in their business. Like for example, I know someone out here. He's been a government employee for about 25 years, and then like just recently, 5 years ago, he started his own gym.
Yeah,
like, he opened up a couple gyms. In like Oklahoma and Tennessee and all that stuff. So again, like he took a different route of approaching his goal. So
yeah.
What I was trying to get out.
Yeah, so, no, we got it. I mean, I'll start off and we can go around this way. I would say that my shit was not efficient at all.
Yeah,
but I think that I had to go through that learning curve of not knowing shit to kind of realize what I'm doing and where I would go. But that also took years of like research, development, making the right connections, working in the industry that I'm in for me to kind of get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I can only speak for starting a fashion brand. I can't talk about content creation because I don't really know too much about that. But in terms of starting a brand, I think you got to work first, like work for at least 5 years before you even try and do it. Because you're setting yourself up for failure if you're not. That's what I would say, because I've failed, but I was just lucky enough to be in a position where I had, like, I just kind of lucked out and met the right people at the right time.
Do you think that's luck, though? I'm sorry to cut you off, but do you really think that's luck? Because, I mean, if you're out here working, grinding, and, like, doing the necessary things that you need to be doing to be successful, I don't think that's an accident.
I would say yes and no. I wouldn't just say, like, it's luck. Like, I was sitting on my ass, and people were like, hey, we'll do this for you, you know? Like, it was still a lot of me, like, working and building those connections and doing all of that. But the reason I say luck is just the way things timed at the right, like, things came into fruition at the right time.
Okay.
You know, with, like, some finding someone to make my logo. Because I had emailed maybe 50 different companies that had told me no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this one person told me yes. And she was able to make me a badass logo. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like that logo itself was, like, everything that I've wanted and more. If I went to another company, it probably wouldn't have panned out that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so that's why I'm saying in terms of luck, like, those things, okay, they just kind of, like, I was fortunate enough for them to fall in the places that they did. So I would say I didn't do it efficiently, but I think that that also helped me. But Woody?
I think personally, I would say that, like, time frame, it was probably the most efficient way, but satisfaction, it was probably, like, the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like it was terrible. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off super quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, well, what I was thinking when I was first kind of quitting all the creative stuff is that I was also getting frustrated about creating something and then being like, I don't have enough paint or I don't have enough materials to be able to create more.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'd have to go back. I'd have to go try to find a little job or whatever to get like another couple hundred. And then I would continue and then I would stop because I wouldn't have money. So it'd just be a back and forth like motion. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, if I had money, then I can just keep on going. I can just keep that momentum going. And that's really where I was getting like frustrated. But then when I went to the whole business side, I just forgot about it completely. So I think for myself, like leaving all that and being completely stripped away from art, it kind of helped me out in the long run because now that I'm back in it, I know exactly what I love to do every single day and I have the funds to do it. I'm able to work out of my house that I purchased. Mm-hmm. I'm able to, you know, do whatever I want to do and work my hours. So mm-hmm. like in that sense, I feel like if I would have continued going back and forth and back and forth, and that's why I think that structure and preparation is really key in all of this,
mm-hmm.
Then I don't even think I'd probably be still charging $100 for a video.
Yeah, living the American dream right there.
Yeah, most efficient, definitely not. But I guess I'm not going to change the question, but like, I guess my outlook on this is I don't think that there is like, you shouldn't look at it as like, was this the most efficient way to do it? It's like, mm-hmm. No. Like, there's different ways to skin a cat. What may work for you may not work for somebody else.
True.
You know, exactly. Like, you're over here like, you know, you got to do the research, you know, mm-hmm. do all this, and then you go into it. And he's like, hey, yeah. Fuck that. I'm just going to go ahead and just do this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and like, not fuck the consequences, but like, yours was like, you know, you're like, I have a goal. I know what I want to do. Boom.
True.
Do research. Then go, you know, and that just kind of goes to illustrate. I mean, even when we started this podcast, I mean,
nobody
knew what the fuck was going on. Yeah. Nobody knew, like, everybody was just like, hey, we want to start a podcast. And we're like, fuck it. All right, let's fucking do it.
We just knew that we wanted this for a while.
Well, no, but the point was, I mean, that was the whole like, oh, we're planning it. Let's, you know, we're trying to do this or we want to go this way or we're throwing so many different things at the wall. Eventually, it was just like, yo, fuck this. Like, just go ahead and like, just pick it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here. Now we go from your room, like the garage, to literally we have a setup,
mm-hmm.
we have a group, we actually have our first like guest speaker. Yes. Like,
shout out Productive Culture.
Yeah, shout out Productive Culture, you know, shout out Woody, like everybody. Like, it's all a process in the end of the day, you know, and we're just going to continue to keep getting better. We're going to continue to keep growing. And that's a big thing too in our society. Everybody, like, I guess since we are Millennial Minute, I guess I can say this is the right to say this. Everybody wants instant gratification.
Yeah.
And nobody wants the actual, like, you know, work behind it. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, T, I know YouTube and I'm a YouTuber as well. And, you know, other people that we know also YouTubers. But like, everybody just sees, obviously Woody too. Sorry, everybody. But anyways.
Everybody.
Anyways, but like, you know, everybody sees like, oh, 6 minutes, 6 minute video. Oh, that's not that bad.
Oh,
I can knock that out really easy. And then you're like, maybe editing is a little bit harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe all these other things. Oh crap, I forgot to hit save and now everything is basically gone. Let's go ahead and redo that again, you know? Like, there's so many like little things that go into it that whole 6 minute video. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm gonna put on this shirt,
6-minute video, knock it out. There's a lot of other things that go into it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. T.
Well, for me, I feel like, yeah, I could have done things differently and would have been a lot more successful on my channel, but mm-hmm. I feel like I found my niche at the right time. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky that I got my experience through making other videos that didn't do well. But once I found what I wanted to do, I already had the experience of being in front of the camera, editing. I developed my own style in how I like to present my videos.
Yeah.
So I was able to apply my niche to it. And I'm seeing a lot more success a lot quicker.
That's good.
You know, so it's kind of like a mixture of what Rod said, where it was like a little bit of like just perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Right. Even though it took me 2 years, it happened, I feel, at the right time, you know. Yeah. And then kind of like what Speaks was saying, too, where you have to dive into it. And then, I mean, Woody said the same thing. You have to dive into it and be willing to fail, you know? Yeah. And if I didn't fail from before, I don't think that my switch to a different niche would have been as successful, you know?
Yeah. No, that's for real. That's for real. So, I mean, kind of wrapping things up, getting to my last question here. So, Woody, what would you have to say to, you know, maybe a listener, a young listener, maybe a Gen Z, a millennial that says, okay, if Woody can do it, I can do it. I just don't know where to start. We see a lot of people like, for example, Gary Vee is someone who's just kind of like, you know, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it. And sometimes when people watch those, they're just kind of like, okay, but like,
what do I do?
Like, what do I do? Like, he's telling me to do it and I'm pumped up and I'm inspired, but like, where do I go from here?
They don't know where to start.
Exactly. Yeah. So because I know we already kind of touched on it, but what would you say to the listeners who are kind of inspired by your story? And what would be one word of advice to them if they wanted to get out of their current job and kind of be their own entrepreneur?
So a big thing that was going through my mind when I was in Marcus and Milchett making sales calls is I was always thinking about making videos, or I was always thinking about, you know, doing this and that, like just different things. So whatever that like pops up in your head, that's what you should be doing every single day. And so whatever that is, find somebody that does it that's better than you and match and mirror.
Mm. Oh, damn. Nice.
Quick and to the point.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was really good. Speaks T, do you guys have anything
else to
end with?
Just do it. Nike, sponsor the motherfucking pod.
Nike, sponsor the fucking pod.
Cut the check.
Ooh, yes. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I really like what she said about finding your niche, because like after you have that sort of like umbrella why, then it makes it a lot easier to be able to go out and do those things.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that, then you're just like,
you're throwing everything.
It's like, why? Yeah. Why are you even doing it?
True.
And that's so important. I think it was a research by Forbes that millennials are the ones that really look for like purpose in anything that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the main thing right now is like, if they're going to be doing anything, it has to have purpose. You have to tell them the why, mm-hmm. as opposed to like how much you're going to make. Everybody wants that community versus cash.
Yeah,
true.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's okay. Great. Well, Woody, thank you again. We wanted to give you the last couple minutes to plug On Brink, plug your podcast, whatever you're working on. Maybe give us some insight into future projects that you're working on. Stuff maybe that you can't tell us all of it, but you know, just give us a little teaser. Give us a little, you know. Give us some.
A little some.
A little some. Some.
Little tea. Little drip.
A tip. How about you just give us a tip?
You know, just give us a tip. You don't have to give us all of it, but you know.
Just a little bit, you know.
You know, but plug on Brink, where can people find you on Instagram? Do you have Twitter, Patreon? You know, tell us where the people can find you.
Yeah, so you guys can find anything that I'm doing on onbrink.com. Another random thing you'll probably find on there is that I'm a dance instructor. Mm-hmm. So I have like a bunch of random things on there, but onbrink.com is the location. And then my IG handle is at Woody Landeros.
There so we go.
Find out more.
Nice.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Quick question for you, Woody.
Yeah.
What can I dance? Is there a specific type of dance?
Hip hop.
That you instruct? Hip hop. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, and I teach all ages.
Alif definitely needs help with
we
that.
We should all
first
go.
Class is free.
Oh, as come a pod?
The millennial minute getting down.
Is this a podcast exclusive? First class is free?
Hey.
So if you're trying to get hip hop classes, hit up Woody Landeros. Also, if people are trying to get content created, they could also reach out to you there. Any other special projects that you're working on? You just want the people to follow you and see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always interested in a person that's going to research more. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I'm doing with my podcast, Shut Up and Fail, is season two is going to be all woman. So all woman entrepreneurs, creatives, and nice. You guys can go ahead and search it up, shutupandfail.com.
Okay, nice. Okay, cool. That's really good. You know, support that feminist movement, guys. So once again, support the feminist movement. Yeah. So
I actually went through the whole podcast, like first 20 episodes with no woman. And then like I got emails like, hey, so what's this about?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? And I didn't even realize it. And then like, so now I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make a whole season for them.
Oh, dope.
Oh, there we go. Season one, mansplaining.
Nice.
I'm just talking shit. That's what we do here. That's what this podcast is.
Exactly.
Wait, Elif, say what you're gonna say.
Catch the pod taking dances from Woody, man. We'll call the episode Millennial Funk.
Millennial funk.
I kind of dig that. Right, okay.
I like how we're having just different names every single time. Generation.
Yeah. My favorite was the Glitch in the Matrix.
Yes.
So, Anywho,
Woody, thank you again, man, for coming out.
Yeah, thanks.
We appreciate you for being the very first guest on the Millennial Minute. Hopefully in 5 years, that's going to be huge news.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, Woody,
you're going to be a legend.
I know. You're going to be a legend, man. We appreciate you coming down. We really fuck with what you're doing.
Definitely.
We support the vibe and we believe in you, man. So we're going to keep tabs on you and feel free to come back whenever, man. We're going to have you back. So
yeah, thanks so much. In five years, we'll be going up to Woody and be like, hey, Woody, you remember us?
Yeah. Sponsor the pod, Woody.
Thank you guys, man. Seriously.
Also,
all of you guys. And for the viewers, I'll say it. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. Like,
yes.
Seriously, on the... What do we got? YouTube. We got Spotify.
Yes.
I mean, search it up.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sponsor the motherfucking pod.
So Woody.
Tell your mama. Tell
your mama.
Tell your aunties.
Tell your granddaddy.
Tell your granddaddy.
Tell
your granddaddy, daddy.
Tell your pappy.
Tell your pappy.
Sugar mama.
Sugar mama. That speaks right there.
Hey. People still hitting us up from that.
I know. I still get sugar daddy texts. I mean, still...
messages.
Oh,
no.
Okay, fine.
Be real. I gotta
go. Yeah. So Woody, sign us off with one last sponsor the pod. We appreciate you, man. Thank you again.
For those of you guys listening, sponsor the pod.
All right, you guys. Thank you. Thank you again for listening. Chibs, do you want to sign us off?
All right.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.